been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come into your presence this morning and worship you and pray to you and get into your word. Pray that you would lead us into your presence, God. Thank you for giving us this time. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. And I have another verse, just a few verses down, Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Let me tell you a quick story. This is from my daily devotional. Story time. Fyodor was a wild young man. His life revolved around eating, drinking, talking, music, theater, and the company of women. He dreamt of fame. He was caught up in a movement for political and social reform in Russia during the repressive reign of Tsar Nicholas I. He was arrested, tried, and condemned to be executed. On a bitterly cold morning, the prisoners were taken out to be shot. The prison guards raised their muskets to their shoulders and took aim. At the last moment, a white flag was raised to announce that the Tsar had commuted their sentence to life imprisonment in Siberia. On his arrival in Siberia on Christmas Eve, 1849, at the age of 28, two women slipped him a New Testament. When the guard turned away momentarily, they suggested he should search the pages thoroughly. He did. While in prison, Fyodor Dostoevsky, the great Russian novelist, read the New Testament from cover to cover and learnt much of it by heart. He wrote, "I believe that there is no one lovelier, deeper, more sympathetic, and more perfect than Jesus. I say to myself with jealous love, not only is there no one else like him, but there never could be anyone like him. It was through the Bible that he had encountered Jesus Christ." I'm sure there are many stories like that that you have heard that illustrates just the power of Scripture, right? Fyodor Dostoevsky, he's a well-known author. I didn't know his story. Apparently he was a young man just giving his life to pleasure, drinking, women. And it was through the New Testament, as he was reading the Word of God, that it just awakened in him a love for God, opened his eyes to Jesus Christ. And there are many stories like that that illustrates the power of Scripture. And I think we would all agree that the Bible is very, very powerful and very essential to our spiritual growth and to our spiritual health. Amen? We would all agree that the Scripture is essential and very beneficial. There's a few verses that come to mind. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Word of God is living and active, right? The Word of God is powerful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." The Scripture is beneficial. The Scripture is powerful. It's profitable for us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. "But he answered and said, it is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" The Word of God is not only powerful and profitable, but it's essential, right? We don't live just on physical bread. We live on the Word of God. So we know that the Scripture is essential and it's powerful, it's necessary, it's profitable. But that's not how the Bible describes itself. Well, the Bible describes itself as being essential and powerful and beneficial, but that's not the full picture of how the Bible describes itself. The Bible talks of itself in this way of it being a delight to us. which is much more than just it being powerful and essential and necessary. All those things are true, yes, but the Bible also adds this element of the Word of God being our delight and being our joy. It's different, right? One is out of necessity. If we turn to the Word of God because we need it, you know, it's powerful and it's good for us and it's something that we need, but the other is we turn to it because we want to, because our heart longs for it and we want to meditate on the Word of God. The other is out of joy and this one is out of necessity. Do you sometimes approach the Word of God out of obligation? Do you sometimes approach the Word of God out of just knowing that it's good for you, that it's essential? That's not bad, right? It is necessary. The Word of God is necessary, and we need His Word to do a work in our hearts. But to remain there, I think that means we're missing something greater. Maybe we start out with the Word of God because we know it's powerful and it's necessary and it's essential. But to remain there means we're missing out on something greater that the Lord wants to take us into. Tomatoes. Do you guys like tomatoes? How many of you don't like tomatoes? No one? I don't like tomatoes. I've never liked tomatoes as a kid. I didn't like them. As a kid, I really hated it. Now as an adult, I'll eat whatever I need to eat, but still, I don't really like it. But, and this is a freebie for all the men here, apparently tomatoes are good for your prostate. So, what do I do now? I eat tomatoes. I try to make sure if I see tomato, I'll eat it because, well, it's good for my health. I know it's essential and it's beneficial. And it's powerful, right? Apparently it does something for your body that is good. But do I love it? Is it my delight? No, right? I don't seek out tomato. I just do it because I need to. And even when I consume tomato for that purpose, it does what it's supposed to do. It is good for my body, and it does what it's supposed to do in my body. But this is not the full picture that is prescribed in Scripture regarding itself, regarding the Bible. Chocolate. Do you guys like chocolate? Some of you do, some of you don't. I've always loved chocolate. As a kid, I liked chocolate. As an adult, I still like chocolate. And I look for it, and I look forward to it. You know, I'll go out of the way to buy chocolate and to consume chocolate, and if anything, I need to be careful not to have too much of it. And that's the picture that it gives of Scripture, right? The verses we read this morning, if your law had not been my delight, I looked up the word delight, just means that, I mean delight, right? Something that you love, something that you enjoy, something that you look forward to. And the next verse, Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love your law. How I love your law. When the psalmist is talking about the law, it's talking about the first five books of the Old Testament. But I think for us as New Testament Christians, we can apply that to the rest of Scripture. Oh, how I love your law. Is that true for you? Oh, how I delight in the law of God. Oh, how I love the law. Or is it out of obligation for you? Why is it not consistently a delight for us to read the Word of God? Just yesterday, my wife and I we had just put Joel to sleep, and then I had missed my daily reading of my Bible on Sunday. Sundays are quite busy, and I don't always have the time to read the Bible on Sunday, so I'll miss it, and then on Monday, I know I have to do a double portion, right? I have to do Sundays and Mondays. And I just told my wife, I said, oh man, sometimes I just don't want to read the Word of God, right? And I think I asked her, do you ever feel like that? Like you just don't want to do your quiet time? I don't know why that is, but it's the case. Sometimes it's just obligation. When we just do it, I do it out of discipline. I do it because I need to. I know that it's good for me. R.T. Kendall says you have to do it. So I say, you know what, I'm going to do it. But sometimes it's a chore. It's a obligation. Why is it like that? I don't know. I'm sure it's different for different people. Why is it not consistently a joy and a delight to turn to the Word of God? But one theory that I have is that it's an attack from the enemy. The enemy doesn't want us to read the Word of God, right? So he's going to do something in our hearts he's going to plant these emotions and these seeds that just says, oh, what a chore, what a bore, you know, what a burden. Oh, I have to do this, and it's not something that excites you. And so we just have to turn to the Lord and overcome it. I think I've shared this story a few times, but when I was young, I was 21 years old, I was doing my DTS program, Discipleship Training School, with YWAM. And on our outreach, we went to India for our outreach, and there was one other guy at DTS on our outreach team that we just had a really special kind of connection with. His name was Dan Nickel, Canadian guy. And somehow over the course of our first 3 months of DTS learning phase, we just really connected. And then when we found out that we're going to be in outreach together, we decided that during our outreach, we would pray. We would meet together, just the two of us, every single night. Outreach is about 2.5 months. And we decided every single night we'll get together at the end of the day and we'll pray together. Pray for one another, pray for the team. And we kept it up. And it was probably the best part of my outreach experience, just to be able to do this with him. But many nights we would get together and either one of us wouldn't want to pray or both of us wouldn't want to pray. We just didn't want to do it. There were many times where we got together just because we knew we had to, but there was no joy, no delight. But we would always pray. If we found ourselves in that kind of an attitude, we would start off our prayer like this. We would say, Lord, we're here, we are here to pray, but we just don't want to pray. You know, I just don't feel like praying. Dan doesn't feel like praying. We just don't feel like doing this, Lord. But we would always pray and say, Lord, but whatever it is that is keeping us from wanting to pray, whatever it is that is making it difficult for us to come to you and pray, we just surrender it to you now. We lay it down, and we ask you to come and help us. And I would say, I hope I'm not exaggerating, but I feel like every time we did that, at least for me, my heart changed. From that of like just kind of not wanting to do it, feeling like it was a burden, to my heart being changed to where I wanted to pray. And we would have really amazing times of prayer, even when we started off not wanting to do it. And so I think it could be the same for the Word of God. Yesterday, I confess, it was just discipline. But I think I should have maybe stopped first and just prayed and said, God, I don't want to read the Word of God. For whatever reason, my emotions are not there and I don't delight in it. I don't love it. There is no desire right now, but God, would you change my heart? You know, I come before you, your Word. I humble myself. I want to love your Word. Would you change my heart? And to pray against the attack, you know, if the enemy is attacking me with these emotions, I surrender that to you. I think that could help, you know. So if you guys find yourself in that place where you're not delighting in the Word of God, next time you sit down to do it, just pray and say, God, whatever attack is coming my way, I rebuke that and I give you my heart. I give you this lack of desire, lack of love for your Word, and would you change my heart? And then you just obey. And sometimes it applies, it works with physical food too, right? Are there things that you really didn't like before, but you kept on eating it because you knew you had to, and then now you enjoy it. Maybe, I guess Vegemite is something like that for me. You know, Mon is Australian, so she eats Vegemite, and I don't always eat Vegemite, but because she does, I would try it here and there and here, and then over time, I have learned to appreciate Vegemite in small portions, but I really enjoy it, especially coupled with butter or avocado or something. Your appetite changes, your taste buds change as you keep on doing it, and I think it could be the same for you. We discipline ourselves to keep reading the Word of God, and we pray for our emotions to change, and we pray against the attack of the enemy, and I think your appetite could change too for the Word of God, where it becomes one of delight, love. You know, you do it because you love God first, and you love His Word instead of just out of necessity. So let's turn to Him. I'm going to ask Pastor Andrew to lead us in a song. Father, thank you. Thank you for this word this morning in my own personal devo and for our EMP time. God, help us to be a church, to be a congregation that just love the Word of God. Not just do we just do it because we're committed and we're disciplined. And Father, that's good, but we know that you're inviting us to something so much greater. God, where we delight. You know, your word becomes our delight and our joy. And I pray that you would take us to that place, God. Thank you for this time.
Need more.
is doing to, whatever the enemy is trying to do to take away that delight, to mess with our emotions, to take away that joy and love for your word, we just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We come against that. We command the attacks to be thwarted and go to the feet of Jesus Christ, and we submit our emotions to you, Holy Spirit, that they would be aligned to you, Holy Spirit, that we would experience the incredible joy and love and delight at being in your word and meditating on your word, God. Thank you. Thank you. We need you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our corporate prayer topics. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer, going through chemo or radiotherapy. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for strength. There's been some good news about Calvin, that the cancer cells are decreasing in size and he's doing pretty well. There are not too many side effects from the different treatments. So let's continue to pray for healing for him and also for his wife, Alicia, for strength for her. So let's continue to pray. Let's pray for those that are ill but also in need of salvation. If we can turn to the second slide, please. Let's pray for our friends. Let's just lift them up. Pray for God's grace, for the Lord to reveal himself to our friends. Let's pray. Go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities amongst Did we change the slide? What happened? Infirmities, yeah. Let's pray for various friends, community that need healing. Let's pray for God's power to be released upon them. Let's go to our fourth slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for favor and provision from the Lord. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's thank God for this city. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray that for God's wisdom and strength and anointing upon our leaders here in the city. Let's pray against the wealth gap and just the social issues here in this city. Let's pray for all the different ministries that's listed there that we partner with. Let's pray for the churches in Hong Kong to rise up, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for the young people here and the domestic helpers here and just the poor and the oppressed in our city, that God would minister to them. And let's just lift up Hong Kong together. Let's pray for the staff. Pray for the staff to be healthy, for the staff to work hard and to work well together, for us to be united, for us to be filled with faith. And if you can particularly pray for P. Ricky, please. He's not feeling well today. He just came back from Mongolia. So let's pray for healing and strength for him. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, welcoming team and barista team. Pray for P. Andrew and Ashley as they lead these ministries. Let's pray for all the people that are serving in these ministries to have the heart of God. And yeah, just have a good heart as they serve. And let's pray for the anointing of God to be upon them, that through these ministries, so many people at church will be blessed. They would feel welcomed and they will feel the sense of belonging and acceptance. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Thank you. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship, a pursuit of excellence, doing the very best that we can. And let's pray that through this ministry, God will receive the worship, and the church will be blessed. They will be able to worship the Lord freely as well. Let's pray for these ministries. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. There's a lot meeting on Tuesday, so let's pray for each one that they would be, each meeting will be very good, that the presence of God will be very strong in those house churches. Let's pray for a great discussion and one where that people will be inspired and encouraged to give their hearts to the Lord. So let's pray for our house churches. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come to you this morning and pray to you and turn to your scripture and just meet with you. God, as we continue to spend time with you, I pray that you would release more of your presence, more of your love, God, into this place. Watch over each person as they go off to their workplaces, God. We pray that you would provide for them and anoint them and give them wisdom for the day, God. We love you, Lord. Help us to fall deeper in love with you and also your word, God. Yeah, give us that delight for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.